Shalom to all. Today's Davzim Shalom Yishkalim Dav Dalet, and we are starting about the third line at the two dots with a quote from the Mishnah Matakna Sadrachim, and in the Vilt Sursadav is about halfway through Beis Amud Beis, and today's Davzim sponsor Lili Nishmas Maris Merim Sarah Basim Yaakov Moshe Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So the Mishnah said that during Adar, Beis Din does a whole bunch of different things that are for the benefit of the public, and it lists a number of them, namely Matakna Sadrachim, fixing up the ways, Vesar Chavis in the streets, Ves Mikvais Hamayim, and the Mikvais that had all this mud in it from the winter, and Vais and Kol Tzarchei Rabim, they do whatever's necessary for the Rabim. So now the Gemara quotes a Braisa from Maseches Ma'id Katan, which is all about Chol HaMoed, and this is discussing that Tzarchei Rabim are allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, even though really Chol HaMoed is Yomtif and you're not allowed to do work. If it's Tzarchei Rabim, you're allowed to do so. As that's what this Braisa tells us, Eluhein Tzarchei Rabim, the following things are considered Tzarchei Rabim, done in Dine Mamonis, with Dine Nefashis, and Dine Makos. Bezin can sit down and judge monetary matters and capital cases, and whether or not a person needs Makos, Upoidin Arachim Mecharamim Vekdeshois, and we could also redeem Arachim Mecharamim Vekdeshois. These are all different ways of donating something to the Beis HaMikdash. They all have different particularities, and one would have to redeem them for money if he wants to, and so that could be done on Chol HaMoed. Umashkenasa Saita, a woman who's suspected of adultery, we can give her the May Saita to drink on Chol HaMoed. Besarfenasa Para, we can burn the Para Aduma, Va'arfen Egla Rufa, if there's a situation of Egla Rufa, which is when we find a dead body outside a city, and it turns out that it's closer to one particular city, so the elders of that city have to go through a whole process called Egla Rufa. We'll do that on Chol HaMoed. V'raitz an Eved Ivri, we'll make a hole in the ear of an Eved Ivri, who really should be going free because of Shemitah, and he decides he wants to stay, so there's a whole parsha of Eved Ivri, we'll make a hole in his ear. And we can metahir mitzayra. If he has tsaras and now he's tahar, we can go through the whole process. And his last thing doesn't have to do with tzarchei rabim. It's just something that's allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. Umefarkenes hamin al mel gabi ha'imam ve'in machzir noisai. One can take a shoe off of the mold that it's on, but he can't put it back on. In order to give a shoe the proper form that it's supposed to have, it was on this special thing called the imam. It gave it its form. And so if it was already on there before Yom Tov, before Chol HaMoed, it could be taken off, but it can't be put back on because that's considered a maisa uman, and that's a proper malacha which would not be allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. So now we continue discussing this. This Braisa also says that what's allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed? Umitzayin al kvaros, that we can mitzayin, we can mark graves on Chol HaMoed. So the question is, like kvar tzinu me'adar, didn't they already mark them adar time? We said in our Mishnah, the markings on the graves would often get washed off during the winter, so during adar, they would have to remark them, replaster them, repaint them, so everyone can know where the kever is. And if this was done during adar, why a little bit later during Chol HaMoed Pesach are we being mitzayin the kvaros? And the answer is, Tiftik, we could explain as follows, Shiyar shetaf shel geshamim v'shatfu. Since it's still at the end of the winter, it's possible that there was a huge rainstorm, a shetef of geshamim, and that washed off our freshly plastered graves, so that's why we're going to do it again on Chol HaMoed. Another question is, the Braisa says, v'yotzenaf al kelayim, that during Chol HaMoed, they're going to go out regarding kelayim and take care of people who have kelayim, forbidden mixtures growing in their fields. And once again, we have the same question, like far yotzu ba'adar, didn't they already do this adar time? And Tifter, we can explain as follows, answers the Gemara, shahaysa shana feila, that the year was late, the crop was late in growing, ve'enatzmachim nikarim, and that which was growing wasn't recognizable until Chol HaMoed, so that's what we're going to do this on Chol HaMoed. And now we get into a whole discussion of being Mitzayin Kvaros. Ask the Gemara Minayin Letzion, where do we get this idea that we have to Mitzayin, we have to mark a kever? So Rabbi Rechia quotes Rabbi Yaakov Bar Bas Yaakov B'Shem Rav Chonio de Bras Chavron. Now Rabbi Yosef Amar Lo, Rabbi Yosef said that it was Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha who said B'Shem Rav Chonio de Bras Chavron, and Rav Chizkia quoted Rabbi Uziel Bered Rav Chonio de Beis Chavron B'Shem Rav Chonio de Beis Chavron. Now the Pasuk tells us by a Mitzayra of a Tomei Tomei Yikra, he shall call out Tomei Tomei. What do we learn from here? Kadesh Teha Toma Kaira Lecha B'Fia, is that the Toma should call out to you with its mouth, V'Aymeres Lecha Proish, and tell you to stay away. That's what a Mitzayra does. It's called out that he's Tomei, so everyone could stay away from him. And it's the same thing by a Kever. We need people to stay away from it, therefore we have to Mitzayin in the Kever. We have to mark it so that everyone can know where it is. Now, if Elah says B'Shem Shmuel Bar Nachman, we have a Pasuk that tells us, V'Avru Ha'ivrim Ba'aretz, and those who pass through the land will go through, V'Ra Etzam Adam, and they'll see a bone of a man, U'bana Etzlai Tzion, and build a marker next to it. Now we're going to dissect this pasuk and explain it piece by piece. Etzem, what does that tell us? Mikan shemitzayin al tzomais. From here we learn that even if there's just a bone of a person, we're going to make it tzion. We're going to make a marker next to it so that everyone can know because that transmits tuma. Now when the pasuk tells us adam, remember the pasuk says v'ra etzem adam. So adam, what does that tell us? Mikan shemitzayin al shidra al gugayles. From here we learn that we're going to mitzayin. We're going to make a marker next to the shedra, the spinal column, and the gugayles, the skull of a person, because that also transmits tuma. Dalam beis on top. When the pasuk says ubana, mikan shemitzayin al gabe evan kavua. From here we learn that we only make a marker on top of an evan kavua, a stationary stone, a stone which is in the ground and is not going to come out. It's not going to move. And that's lashon of bana. You only build something attached to the ground. Now im oimer at al gabe evan talusha. If you're going to say that we're going to make it tzion next to a stone which is movable, afi yolechus mitam makam acher, it's now going to go and be mitam in a different place. Which means if you make a marker on a stone which is next to a kever or on a kever, as we'll see in a little bit, and you're showing everyone that and this stone is Tameh, and it's a movable stone, then you have a problem. Someone's going to pick it up and move it somewhere else, or maybe there'll be a small earthquake, or maybe because of wind or rain or some other weather condition, it got pushed somewhere else. So people and other things are going to be considered Tameh by going over that stone or touching it when it's really not true. It just got moved. So that's why we only are Mitzayin, a stone that is not movable, it's attached to the ground. Now, continue explaining the pasuk. It says, Etzloi b'makom tahara. When it says Etzloi next to it, that means that this tzion, this marker, is placed in a tahar area. That's not done directly on top of the kever, it's done next to the kever. Now, when the pasuk says tzion, mikan l'tzion, from here we learn that you're supposed to mark a kever so we can know where it is. Now, here we further describe this. A brisa says as follows, Matza evin achas mitzuyanes. If a person found one stone which was marked, it was clearly marked with a plaster that they mark graves with, and it's just one stone. So, afal pi she'ein mekaimin kain, even though l'chatchilo, this is not something that we do, as we just quoted the pasuk, that it's etzloi. We always want to mark next to the grave, not on top of it. Since we only found one stone that was marked, it must be that it's directly over the grave, and therefore, hamayil haleha, if somebody is mahil over it, which means he acts as a tent over this, meaning he puts his body over the stone, even if he didn't touch it, tameh, he is tameh. This is the classic din of oil ames. We know that if a person is under the same oil or the same roof as a mace, so he's tameh, he contracts tumas mace, even though he never touched it, and it's the same thing if he's mahil over the mace, he puts himself over the mace or over the kever, he also is tameh, and that's what we just learned. And why is that? The Braisa continues clarifying, because ani oimer, I say, mace mitsuyan, there was a mace over here that was marked, and it's directly underneath the stone. Now let's say, hayushtayim, we found two stones that were marked. So amal alehen tahar, someone who's mahil over them, he's tahar, ubeinehen tameh, it's in between them which is tameh, because the way that they marked the grave was the grave is in between these two stones. However, if it's plowed up in between these two stones, obviously there's no grave there, so they're viewed as individual graves, and therefore beinehen tahar, in between them is actually tahar, v'sivisehen tameh, and around them, meaning around the plowed area, namely underneath these stones, is tameh. Now, Tani, we have a braisa, ein mitzayin alabasar, we do not make it siyun over human flesh, shamanisach alabasar, because maybe the flesh is going to decompose, it's not maybe, it for sure will, and then we have this marker that there's tumah here, but there really isn't. So if Yustav Arshunim Baal Kumi Ravmana, he asked for Ravmana, v'loy nimtza metameh taras l'mafreya, doesn't it turn out that you're being metameh something which is tar retroactively? Because we have some human flesh over here, we're not going to make it siyun by it, but that means that up until it decomposes, anything that passes over it or touches it is tameh. That's what he's asking by saying metameh taras l'mafreya. The l'mafreya retroactively, before it decomposes, anything that went over it or touched it is going to be tameh. So how are we not making a marker over here? Amrulay Ravmana answered him, it's better that we run into this issue for a short amount of time until the flesh decomposes and people don't run into this issue forever. Because if we are going to make it siyun by this basar, so you're right, for a day or two or a week, however long it takes for the flesh to decompose, that's going to be helpful. But then forever and ever, we have this marker here that shows that there's tuma. People are going to go here, act as if they're tameh, go to the mikvah, bring karbanis, and run into major issues forever and ever. Therefore, it's better just for a short amount of time to run into these issues, that something's tameh, we don't really know it, but then after the flesh decomposes, we don't have this issue, as opposed to the other way around. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Beis, which is really continuation of the first Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.